Emergency code 1138 Recon Ghost transmitting.
Can you imagine what it's like to be an ace pilot? This is your chance to make that dream come true.
Fanboys and Friends presents.
You've got something special. I see it. I've got a mission for you.
All right.
Blend in. Find out who's loyal to the good guys and who isn't.
A Fandom Awakens radio spin-off podcast.
What was that?
The throwing and the falling. Over there.
Don't think about it.
You can work as a mechanic on my team. But when it comes to your mission as a spy, I don't want anything to do with it.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Being an ace is not all fun and games. It can be dangerous.
Just don't explode.
What? Resistance radio transmissions.
You can't handle the hype! Woo-hoo!
Follow my signal.
There are a lot of dangers out there in the galaxy. When people are in need, we help.
Light them up!
Check this out. It's all in the wrist.
It's all in your head.
Welcome back to reality.
Professionals, you say?
I'm an ace pilot. I've battled pirates and marauders.
Pirate strategies have been changing.
What do you mean?
They're better prepared. They have better equipment. I don't know how.
Your hidden base for news, reviews, and all forwarding transmissions for the new animated series Star Wars Resistance.
General, the First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're gonna need all the help we can get.
You ready?
Let's do this.
I want this station completely destroyed.
Get him!
Showing up always means trouble.
I knew you missed me.
Here we go!
Oh, this is exciting! I appear to be tingling all over!
Alright, gang, and welcome to the latest episode, or episodes, because we'll be discussing quite a bit, of Resistance Radio Transmissions. I am your host, Davidson, and on the Ghost Recon, the Colossus, I'm not sure where we are. We're somewhere, I can tell you that. And I know this show's somewhere too, but I'm not alone in trying to find that. With me, your host of mine, I know. I'd rather be discussing The Mandalorian. I know my co-host rather be discussing The Mandalorian. Come on, 2019, get here already. Your friend of mine, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going, bud?
No, that's Kyle Starspeeder.
Kyle Starspeeder, yes. All right. Let's try
that. Not Kyle Katarn, Kyle Starspeeder.
No. Yeah, not that legend Kyle Katarn fella. Kyle Starspeeder. So that would make me... wait a minute, David Dengar. No, I'm not taking that dude's name.
David IG-88?
That's even worse.
David Bosk?
Let's look for Alf. No.
David Wookie Dandruff?
Okay, stop it already. Stop it. All right, so... okay, what?
Oh, wait. I can tell you this. There will be no visits from Alec Guinness in this podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's good to know. Because I think even old Alec Guinness would be rolling his eyes, and let's just say he'd have more ire than when he told a kid, "I will sign your autograph if you never watch Star Wars again."
So can I make an observation here, Mr. Senden?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, because I know we're going to be talking about the three most recent episodes of Star Wars Resistance, Signal from Sector 6, Sonara's score, and the Platform Classic.
Mm-hmm.
I understand more than ever that this show is more aimed for kids than any Star Wars show that has been done before, even the early seasons of Clone Wars.
Or early seasons of Rebels.
But I have never seen anything Star Wars spin its wheels and stay in place like Star Wars Resistance has.
You know, okay, I'm going to come down off of bias Mount Yoda. See you, Mount Yoda, and say, yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, come on, I love Star Wars. My whole apartment, Star Wars. I mean, hello. So I'm a very biased guy. Anyone who, in the podcast realm, you, Matt, anybody else, or anyone who has to deal with me on a regular basis, also known as family, they know this, right? But this show just has me scratching my head. It looks pretty. Okay? It looks pretty. I'll give it that. But other than that, I'm just scratching my head going, what are we doing?
Well, okay. So I'm gonna say this. Like I said, I think this is written for more for children, and they've even said that going into this show. But it just feels like with this show, what's the most frustrating thing about it to me is the aspect of they have introduced so many interesting concepts, but they refuse to follow up on those concepts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And instead of following up on those concepts, they just keep introducing more and more concepts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I cannot disagree with that. I mean, I was very interested with, almost briefly interested, you know, once we got past the shell people, or whatever it was, the sort of, looks like some weird Dark Crystal moment. But I was very interested with the Children of Tar episode, I believe it was, where they name drop Kylo Ren. I'm like, okay, this is what I wanted you to follow. This was the thread to be like, I can go down this route because we know where it's headed. And by the way, honestly, with its wheel spinning, I don't see it going much past this season, if at all. Okay, I just don't. I can't project. I want to be shocked because we're a fandom that have had weirder things happen, like Jackson the Green Rabbit. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see, Star Wars Resistance Season 2. But I'm not holding my breath and turning blue over it. Yeah. But I was, you see what I mean? And I don't want to sound negative, Nelly. I love this show. You know, to a point. Again, like I said, pretty to look at. But, I go back to the Children of Tar example. I wanted to see that thread followed through. You know, the whole Kylo Ren name drop, because I know where the show is hopefully going. But the week after, what episode was that again?
Okay, well, let's talk about it, because it's our first of three episodes, and that's Signal from Sector 6. Yeah. And there's actually things I really liked about that particular episode.
Oh, okay. But that was the thread I was talking about that I wanted to follow, and it just... Then we got this kind of weird, you know, Kowakian Zilla or whatever that was, or...
Yeah, well, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, you know what? At least with Rebels, I felt like, okay, there's still a direction we're moving in towards. We still have a plot thread going on here.
Yeah, no.
And here, the threat, there's a thread in episode, but there hasn't been a whole lot of time. I mean, I'm just going to start with our main character of Kaz. Here he is supposed to be a spy, yet we only see in a really a couple episodes where he's doing spy things, and sometimes it's, you know, again, I get it's more for, these shows aim more for kids, so there's gonna be some kid lessons in there and stuff like that, and I get that, but it just feels like, I said, it just feels like it's a random story of the week. And I mean, I look at Signal from Sector 6, which was brought the return of Poe Dameron, of course, voiced by Oscar Isaacs, and much kudos to him for coming back and voicing his character. And this was a fun episode because we got to see Kaz being a pilot again, which is we haven't seen since the premiere.
Which was an awesome opening.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and everything with this episode was, as far as everything with Poe showing up and the conversations that were had and him kind of showing Kaz a few tricks was great. And then they go to this station, and it gets weird really quick, because then, you know, it's like, oh, we're doing the old Aliens trope, and of course now we've got genetically altered creatures, and then, of course, they find this hidden survivor who very obviously is projected, turns out to be a pirate, and that, of course, is Sinara, and I'm just, I get it. This is a children's cartoon, but even Rebels didn't feel like it was insulting my intelligence like this does sometimes.
Well, I will say, as far as the insulting one's intelligence, which, again, I say that term very loosely because I don't want to sound mean about it, because
I'm trying to be mean about it.
I know what you're trying to do, and I sort of say that with a light caveat, because you know what? I love Star Wars. We love Star Wars. We wouldn't be talking Star Wars if we didn't love it, for Pete's sake. But it almost feels interesting, because that term you used was more how I felt in the early days of Rebels versus the back half. Because the back half, like season 4 in particular, when you got into the world between worlds and otherwise known for you EU Legends heads as flow walking, I'm like, okay, you really got some substance in there. Now, when we started Rebels, looking back on it, I'm sorry, I really didn't know what to make of them. Just like, what?
But see, but even I feel like Rebels, at least you had the story of Kanan early on, and the early forming, early things with the Rebel Alliance, and things like that. This just has felt like utter chaos. And, you know, again, I go back and I look at those trailers that we initially got, and I just feel like we were sold a bill of goods that isn't what this show actually is.
Oh, are you referring to the Aces and selling the flying aspect?
Yeah,
almost,
I mean,
almost the Star Wars equivalent of Top Gun.
Yeah, and I mean, even when Dave first talked about this show, that was one of his big selling points, was this was going to be a lot about pilots and flying and all of that, and I just... It's not. It just isn't.
The World War II fighter pilots, I believe, is the way you described it as.
And I just don't feel that. And it's not. And I don't need a race every week. I don't need every week to be about what's going on with the pilots. But I need there to be some consistency. And it's just, it's not consistency other than Kaz being completely naive at times.
Okay, I'm gonna coin this phrase, and I know our episode 1 haters are going to love this, but do you mean Kaz kind of Jar Jarring his way through every episode?
Yeah, and I'm not even gonna. I think Jar Jarring is going a bit extreme, but I mean, just I would say it's more like 3PO-ing his way through every episode.
Wait a minute. For that, I think we have to use a Futurama comparison, Bender.
Yeah, or even frying his way through every episode.
Oh, Jesus. All right. We could really go down a rabbit hole with that one.
Yeah. But, I mean, okay, so, again, Signal from Sector 6, it was very cool seeing Poe. getting the interaction between Poe and BB-8, kind of giving Kaz the, oh, well, you're doing great work, and, you know, at least tying back to that early episodes.
Right, right, yeah.
And you know what? This, for the first time, too, because when we carry over to episode 8, Sonara's score, we have a plot thread that continues with dealing with the Sonara character and her being an undercover plant for the pirates. But again, you have this whole thing where it's like, okay, we had actually a pretty cool pirate battle. Which was probably one of the best battles we've had in this show.
I would say if this show, and I've been using this phrase a lot, especially on the movie side, but we'll save the main show for that conversation. But if this show didn't feel like Star Wars, and for the most part it hasn't, you know, sorry Star Wars, I just gotta be honest to myself, it kind of hasn't. But, you know, the episode Sonara score with the pirate attack on the Colossus had about 15% that felt like Star Wars, because a lot of that felt like, you know, the asteroid chase with some trench sprinkled in there.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah.
You know, and it rolls right into this, a similar thing with the platform classic. And, you know, I was very happy to get more of Yeager's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a great part of it. But again, these episodes just don't seem to be giving us a lot. It's a little bit here, a little bit there, but there's not, it just, these feel, I understand there's things going on through a plotting arc through the season, but these stories still just feel like they're just one-shot things and that's it.
No,
Rebels never felt like that for the most part.
Well, neither did Clone Wars, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but Clone Wars had overarching stories.
It did. One of my gripes there, though, and granted, I got into podcasting rather late in the Clone Wars game, so covering the season 7 on Disney Plus next year is going to be an interesting experiment for me. But one of my hang-ups with Clone Wars was, because it was, as far as episodes laid out and order, you know, where it was really the epitome of how an eccentric billionaire runs a TV show. You know, like, oh, a story over here, a story over there, a story over here, a story over there. It was like, you know, it was like Bob Ross, you know, doing wild brushstrokes without any sort of main, you know, following, okay, we're doing this and doing that. And, you know, it really didn't feel like you're following one main thing. You could follow one main thing and then divert over here. And now, granted, like I said, that was, you know, just George in general, the eccentric billionaire, you know, doing a TV series. So at least we haven't had that. We did have that with Rebels. We had a show that followed a line, shockingly. But with Resistance, you're following a line, yes, you're not quite hopping all over the show. But it's like, you haven't even found your footing. What else could you hop to? If you hop off the main line in Resistance, you're literally hopping into nothing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I mean, it's the same reason, like, where with episodes of Rebels, we could get a good full half-hour podcast at least out of one episode of Rebels. But with this, I mean, there's none of these episodes that have enough, as we've said before, meat on the bone that warrant a full podcast by themselves. You have to do them in groups.
I totally agree. And again, that's why we've been waiting 3 episodes, because it's like, what else will we be talking about? If we just talk about, and this is why next week's recording is going to be really interesting, but if we just talked about one individual episode of Star Wars Resistance with where it sits right now, well, let's just say if I had a soundbite of Dee Bradley Baker's crickets, I'd insert it.
Yep, exactly.
I wish that had come out as a soundbite. It'd be so appropriate right now.
But, like I said, I don't want to be fully negative, because there are positive things about this show. I
there
like some of the
missions. Absolutely are. Like the Flying Aces. Like what we were sold on with this show. When, when you said it was like Speed Racer.
Yeah. And the Aces are a great part. I do love the things that they are, the underlying story they have with the First Order. I always love seeing Poe pop up in an episode and they tie things more in the Resistance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have seen growth of the Kaz character over the last few episodes, so that's been a good thing.
I'll tell you what. Personally, I'd like to see, and I know we've talked about it, Kyle, and her comments outside of Resistance just awful and repugnant and stupid. But we've dealt with, you know, stupid people in Star Wars fandom before. I'm looking at you, Dave Prowse. But, I want to see more of the General Leia, because what we know about the actress aside, you know, again, not a political podcast, so if you want commentary on that, you know, I'm sure you can find it elsewhere. But she does a spot on what we've heard, and so far it's only been that little bit in the trailer, right? You know, the extended trailer that came out. Pardon the obvious but painful pun, given that she's gone, but that is a dead ringer for an older Leia.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I think one of the things here is too, is that with this show, one of the things my biggest concerns is, and they've reported this, is that at some point this show is going to run concurrently to the events of The Force Awakens, which means at some point BB-8 is going to be written out of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, I think, if Resistance doesn't do something to find its footing now, that's going to be, and feel free to agree or disagree, but that's going to be the biggest hang-up for Resistance. Because honestly, for me, it's seeing BB-8 every week.
Yeah, and that's my feeling too, is that none of these characters have been given a chance to truly establish themselves, either because of their limited amount of screen time or how they've been portrayed. The only character right now that I feel like has really truly been well established outside of Kaz has been Tam.
Oh, the mechanic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Yeager got a little bit more character establishment with this week's episode, The Platform Classic. But again, it just makes me wonder, again, and I know I've said this before, is if this show doesn't have a case of the solos. And when I say that, it's the aspect of, was this show rushed out, or was it kind of like, okay, well, with everything that's been going on and everything like that, let's just get it out there and get it over and done with. Because I'm sorry, that's, to this day, that's still how I feel Disney and Lucasfilm treated Solo.
As much as I love Solo, and I'm biased toward the films, because honestly, And this goes into a conversation we'll have down the line with, future TV and the Mandalorian and Cassian P.I. or, whatever the heck they call this thing. Lucasfilm, you can have Cassian P.I. It's fine, go ahead. But, I kind of see, any live-action Star Wars TV as a interesting experiment. And the reason I say that is, Star Wars is a big theatrical event, right? And in my mind, it's always going to be that. Now, does that mean it takes away from enjoying all this other stuff? Your animated, as long as it's not this, your TV, your live action, all this stuff, does that take away from my enjoyment of it? No. But it kind of puts into focus the real reason I fell in love with this stuff, and a lot of us fell in love with this stuff, despite what some fans are telling themselves these days, is the big theatrical experience. And as good as we're getting at home with our in-house viewing and so on, I really don't see that changing.
Okay, so here's my feeling on that thinking of that aspect.
All right.
One, as far as Mandalorian and the Cassian Andor show go, when I look at some of the bigger sci-fi things on TV today, David, and I don't know if you've watched these shows or not, some of these shows are getting a much more cinematic feel. And the two that pop into my mind as far as right now currently on TV in the sci-fi realm are the current season of Doctor Who, with how that is being filmed,
mm-hmm.
and how they are handling the cinematography on that. Each episode does feel like a cinematic experience. But if you're talking about pure in space and feeling like a cinematic experience as you're watching the show, you need to watch the show The Expanse. Because that feels like a cinematic experience every episode.
Oh, dude, don't get me wrong. I am not saying it couldn't be done.
Yeah, right? But no, I understand.
I'm just on the fence about it right now because of just how indoctored we've been on, on just Star Wars in general. It's almost like you could kind of equate it to Marvel, except I see them doing the reverse of that, where I think a lot of the, shows they've announced already, like the Loki show or the Scarlet Witch show, or even this one rumor I heard, a Rocket and Groot show, and I'm like,
yeah, that's been bouncing yes, around. Please.
But I kind of see that as the same thing, but Marvel doing the reverse of that, where Star Wars is kind of getting their feet wet with it. Marvel's kind of going a 180 in the opposite direction. I don't know. Well, am I making sense with that?
You are, but I think, my feeling on this is to, we are also in a world today where most people have a theater-type experience set up in their home for the most part.
Yeah.
Whether with the cost of what big screen TVs are today and what you can get for sound quality, everything like that. So I think if the time is to do it, now is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mandalorian, what I think what's really going to help with the Disney Plus and the Star Wars on the Disney Plus is I think we are coming out of an era that we hit because of what happened with Last Jedi and the response to that, right, wrong, or otherwise, and I'm not going to go back into that here.
No, we're not going back into that.
But we are, what I'm saying is that we've been through a period now where there was uncertainty about Star Wars, and I think that Lucasfilm and Disney took a long, hard look at themselves from the inside out and realize, okay, we definitely have to change some direction here. And it's, I think the key part of it is it started with making the decision to put things on hold and putting, instead of having the resources so spread out thin that they've made the decision to put those resources into a few projects at a time instead of trying to make it so there was something for everybody all at the same time. And again, and that's the reason why I bring this up is because it comes back to Resistance, because I think Resistance was the last thing created before they made that change of direction with the ship. And I think that that's why when I go back to Resistance getting the solo treatment is that Resistance no. just hasn't been supported the way other projects have.
Yeah, now let me just push back on that and saying, okay, so is that why, and I'm just going to add to your point, it's a very good one, all right? But mm-hmm. is that why Resistance feels so stalled? It's almost like, I'll compare it to, since they're kind of franchise cousins anyway, but I'll compare it to kind of how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was in a rudder before Captain America the Winter Soldier came out.
Oh, no. I completely agree with that aspect, except in this case, I don't think there's a Winter Soldier that's coming to save Resistance.
No, I don't. Look, I don't either.
I think
your Winter Soldier that could have saved Resistance already happened. It was called The Force Awakens.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, I will tell anybody to this day on that first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes, the first half of that season is rough, but it's very obvious when you watch the second half of that season that they were basically stuck in a holding pattern waiting for Winter Soldier, and then once that happened, then they could go full bore with what they truly wanted to do. I think here with Resistance, what we're finding out is that this was made, and then Dave found out he could do season 7 of Clone Wars. And I think that this became a little bit of the forgotten project.
Yes, and can I say, since you just said the magical words, Clone Wars season 7, again, I know you don't like the stinging irony, but guess who's running Lucasfilm and there? Kathleen Kennedy. We know this. She didn't go anywhere. Guess who you have to thank for Clone Wars coming back? My guess is her.
Ooh, oh, I think
the stinging irony.
I think her and Dave had a big part to do with it. I think Bob Iger actually had a lot to do with it as well. I think as far as Clone Wars season 7 goes, I think this was something that was always kind of in the back pocket. And I think when they made the decision to do Disney Plus, that gave Dave the opening to do it. And I think Kathleen pushed it, Dave pushed it, and Bob Iger was on board with it. So I think it was a combination of those three. And I think Disney looked at it as this would be a perfect thing to help bring in people into this Disney streaming service. Not that they're gonna have to twist a lot of people's arms to get them on that, but
right. I mean, it's not like they're going to have to try real hard like Star Trek Discovery with CBS All Access did.
Yeah, I mean, but again, what I'm curious about what's going to happen, and you know, I just kind of wonder. And I think this is another good point. Is Resistance a filler until Disney Plus comes out? Is that what it's been turned into?
I believe so, because when is Disney Plus? Do you think it's like this time next year?
Yeah, my guess is going to be fall 2019.
Yeah, so once we get past the Black Friday and all the absurdity next year and... I still have nightmares and back shivers from this Black Friday. I don't even want to think that far.
the only thing I would question would be, is even if Disney Plus comes out, will we see Clone Wars season 7? Will we see any of the Star Wars material before episode 9, or is it going to be episode 9 and then we see everything else?
Good question.
Because I don't know if Disney wants to step on those toes of episode 9. Let me put it this way. I could see this. This is what I could imagine seeing. Anything was going to hit on Disney Plus as far as Star Wars when it first starts, I think it would be Clone Wars season 7. Because I think what you're going to see...
I agree.
I think what you're going to see is you're going to see episode 9 come out at Christmas time, and probably that first week in January, then Mandalorian will hit.
Now, what I gotta wonder, and we'll talk about this on another show, but what I gotta be curious about is, would they eventually dump the whole thing, but also fix the order?
I don't know. I would hope they would.
I mean, since it's a streaming service platform, you technically could do that.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, for me, and I was talking about earlier, would be a far, far better way to watch the whole series.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know.
Because at this point, you feel like you need to sit in front of your DVD player and have your disc strewn down on the floor and have a sheet going, okay, what am I watching here? What am I watching there? It's like, I'm sorry, I don't want a show doing that. And that also dovetails into what I was saying, where Rebels at least gave me a through line. Resistance is... rudderless as it is at times, is at least giving me a through line because it's not hopping all over the place like Vanellope and Wreck-It Ralph. She just glitches and ends up in different places. You're like, well, where'd you go? Oh, I just realized how perfect that comparison was. It's all at Disney House, kids.
You know, I guess the thing of it is we're kind of stuck in neutral as far as we know what's coming, but we don't know how it's coming and when it's coming, other than episode 9 is coming out at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these questions will start getting answered at Celebration.
Yeah.
I think that coming out of Celebration, we will probably have a premiere date for Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a title and a trailer for episode 9 if we don't have that sooner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was that report of the title may be revealed in, what was it, 2 weeks' time?
Yeah. Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I know, right?
I even think we will have some footage of Mandalorian at Celebration, and we will probably get an announcement of when to expect the Cassian Andor show, and probably have a full name for it.
Mm-hmm.
But my now
obviously better than Cassian P.I. Come on,
yeah.
You know, you negative Nellies and fandom. I was joking.
But it tells me a lot, like because we are recording a show that's supposed to be about Resistance, but how much it spurns conversation about what's going on with the entire Star Wars as a whole, and the fact that we just don't have that much to talk about with Resistance. And again, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing. I think because Resistance, again, is being written for a different audience than the diehard Star Wars fans.
It is. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
You know, but I also look at something, David, and as I watch Resistance, I want to just bring up this point real quick, even though it's a little outside the box. I watched Resistance, and I watched the trailers that were revealed for Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something Disney is doing, and I don't necessarily quite understand it. But it just seems like Disney has become this aspect of, no, we're only going to really push the stuff that's been done since we took over Star Wars. Do you are you kind of getting that feeling? You look at the time set of resistances. We look at the fact that all the rides right now that we're looking at are going to be Disney, based off of stuff Disney has done with the films, not anything recognizing the classic trilogy or even the prequel trilogy.
I'm not going to stoke the fandom conspiracy fires anymore. I put out those rules and conduct on the site I showed you, Kyle.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to do those anymore. But as far as those videos are concerned, and I'll just mention this, you can't ride on nostalgia coattails forever.
No, I agree with that. But you still have to recognize your history.
No, you don't.
Have you? And you do a little. I think in this case you do a little. I think that's been one of the issues with Star Wars right now, is because they've created such a split between classic Star Wars fans and new Star Wars fans when there shouldn't be one in the first place.
Hey, you and I have discussed this to death. The only people who have created that split is fans themselves.
Well, fans themselves, but I think also in how certain things have been handled. But again, this isn't going to be one of those conversations. It was just an observation I had.
I'm not that interested in going down that rabbit hole anymore.
Yeah. No, but it was just it wasn't even meant to be in a negative confrontation.
It's fine. I know what you're getting at.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because I have a theory, David. And again, I know we're not, but my theory is that maybe part of the reason why we haven't seen that is because we're waiting for the full Fox purchase. Because once the full Fox purchase, you have to remember, Fox still has a little bit of hook into those original films.
Okay, you know what? You mentioned it, and so I will say that is exactly it. It is not some wild conspiracy. It's the fact that, you know what? You've had so much of that old push, the recognizing history you're talking about. And I use a different term for it, because recognizing history takes on a different meaning for me. But, that is exactly it. The reason we've seen very little of the familiar in the marketing, whether it's the films or Galaxy's Edge or even the shows they've been pushing, is just simply that. The rights were tied up with Fox. The more of the PR muscle was tied up with Fox. The recognizing the familiar, that aspect of it, was tied up with Fox. All of it rests on that. So I can almost guarantee you, okay, that come January 1st, I believe, is when the deal closes, is it not?
Yes, right around there.
Yeah, I can guarantee you, not right away, not like a Thanos finger snap immediate, all right? But over time, it will be a little bit easier to sort of pull the familiar strings, pushing Star Wars, anything, new or old mix, it's all gonna work itself out, because a lot of I'm glad you brought up the Fox deal, because it is tied up in that. Otherwise, they'd be spinning their rudders for another year, waiting for those rights to lapse over, which I believe would have been 2020 anyway.
Yeah.
Because wasn't the rights to A New Hope in perpetuity till at least 2020?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I'm like, when I heard this deal was happening, You know, aside from the Marvel side, I mean, X-Men can get its act together. Fantastic Four can look good for, like, the first time in ever. But that aside, I'm just like, yeah, Disney, that's a pretty hefty price tag to get back to Star Wars, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the same reason why you haven't seen them fully pay Sony for Spider-Man and yet, because of
I can guarantee you, I mean, Sony's another conversation right now, but I can guarantee you one bright shining success doesn't really mean much with Sony. Because it's only a matter of time till they're next on the chopping block.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's such an interesting time, and the
it is,
and there's still so much that's going to be changing, and we don't know the ramifications of everything that's going to change yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how things go. I think when we look back at Resistance in this case, we're going to see it as kind of that bridge gap between how we used to absorb our entertainment and how it's going to be taken going forward. And I think that's where Resistance is really going to have an interesting place in the Star Wars lore.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I mean, that sounds a bit more optimistic than my view of it, but.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to be in a positive or negative light. I just think people.
I'm not saying you're not.
I'm just saying when people talk about Resistance, that's what they're going to remember about. Oh yeah, that was the last Star Wars show before we had the big change.
Well, you know what? Having a honest, healthy reaction like that would be better than a lot of the stuff they've been doing.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But, you know, I'm hoping with what's coming in Resistance, that there's an improvement. I think there's time for that. I think, you know, I also have the rule of thumb for most TV shows. It takes them getting halfway through the first season before they truly get fully hit the ground running. Let's see what happens with Resistance these next few episodes that are coming out.
Unless you're Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's like it took your whole season to get yourself running.
It's okay, three quarters of the first season. But,
all right, fine.
But, you know, I just think, you know, I think Resistance has fit a nice niche for especially younger fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as diehard Star Wars fans, I can understand people who have frustrations with it and disappointment with it, but I think we have to really look at this show through a different set of eyes, and I think you have to go back and kind of look at it through the eyes of a child who maybe this is their first Star Wars thing they've ever seen.
Absolutely. I mean, I said very publicly, whether it was on shows or on my social media pages I don't know why I keep it around, but maybe I do for just morbid curiosity on my Twitter. I've said, you know, we've got to look at everything like that, from movies all the way down to shows, because the reason I say movies also is that, like it or not, that's how new fans are bred, you know. I mean, fans are interesting because you have the fans that are there, right?
Yep. But
every movie, you know, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi, Solo, whatever else is next down the line, every movie is meant to hook in some kind of fan, whether they're new, great. Whether they're a combination new and old and they can share it, wonderful. That's what it's meant to do. That's what it's done all along. That's what it will do. And this whole sort of, you know, hardcore fans, even though I sympathize and sympathetic, there's some things I haven't liked myself. Granted, I'm already a wounded animal, so there's a few things I normally don't share anymore, even in the podcasting realm. But this whole, you know, thing of hardcore fans acting like escaped mental patients from the asylum, that's not what fandom is. It's like, to paraphrase Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith, we're Star Wars fans. We're better than this.
I agree. It's, you know, I do believe we have seen some change for the positive in the last few months. I agree.
I just had to have my little soapbox.
Yeah.
And granted, but, because of what I've been through, the kind of Mustafarian hell, as it were, there are some things I don't share because I'm like, guys, I'm already a wounded animal. What could you possibly do to wound me anymore?
Well, we don't want to do that, but you know what?
I appreciate it.
I think it's probably time to redock the fireball at this point because otherwise we're going to crash here soon.
Yes, and you know, I guess the fireball runs on my negative energy.
I thought it was hyperspace fuel.
I think they're one and the same.
Probably.
Yeah, they're one and the same. All right, well, Kyle, thank you for joining me and slugging through these episodes, slugging through a 7, 8, and 9. Man, I have more fun discussing 7 and 8 as sort of split down the middle as fans were. I had more fun with it.
This is true. But you know what? Like I said, we're going to stay positive. I think good things are ahead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Goose Fraba. Oh, wait, wrong movie. Never mind.
Oh, come on. Just get your Fantastic Beasts all rounded up and let's bring this thing back into port.
Oh, you know what, dude? Don't say that. That's a whole other bag of gun darts that I'd rather not open.
Well, then in that case, I'm just going to say, I'm going to wreck it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Ties in perfectly. It's all Disney, children. All right. Well, as I said, Kyle, thanks for joining me. And, gang, this episode will be out after you see the platform classic. And then you will hear us slugging away about it, you know, or as M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong used to say, just swing away.
Resistance is futile. Oh, wait, oh, wrong.
Okay, that's it.
Sorry about that, folks.
All right, gang, join the resistance. And remember, I say we fight.
Imagine what it's like to be an ace pilot. This is your chance to make that true.
I've got a mission for you.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, no, I'm playing catch up. Brendan,
find out
now,
who's
so
loyal to the good guys.
I got about two more episodes of that. That'll get me caught up.
What was that?
What was what?
Thanks for listening to Resistance Radio Transmissions. Star Wars and Star Wars Resistance is a trademark of Lucasfilm, which is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, all rights reserved.
Yes, it was.
Resistance Radio Transmissions is meant for informational purposes.
I don't think so. I will be shocked if it does. I think the bigger question is, when does he become Nightwing?
Probably around the same time Jason Todd is killed.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see when that's going to happen.
But you know what? If they dare to do the Jason Todd storyline, then you've got to have Batman in there to some extent.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it could be that he just gets word that Jason Todd got killed and such. I am so, with the show.
So
I mean,
you're thinking they treat him like the, I call it the Netflix effect, where they refer to the Bow in New York, but you never really see it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, I just don't think you're going to see Batman in this show.
Probably not. Oh, let me ask you something, because this is an interesting theory, and I think this might have something to do with Disney Plus and maybe, you know, them wanting all the Marvel stuff back in the same house, you know,
yep.
Eventually anyway. But what the hell with Netflix canceling? Well, Iron Fist I can understand because the show sucks. But Luke Cage.
I think, well, everything I heard was Luke Cage actually had about similar ratings to Iron Fist. And I think my understanding more so with Luke Cage and Iron Fist was they were having some pretty major creative differences with the writer for Luke Cage. And they just decided, yeah, no, we're just not moving forward. Daredevil's not even guaranteed a fourth season at this point. I think they just pitched. Apparently, the writer for Daredevil season 4 just pitched it to Netflix. I truly believe that Netflix is going to get entirely out of the Marvel business.
So, do you think it ties in with my theory of the Disney Plus and what Marvel is doing with their Scarlet Witch and Loki show?
I think what you're going to see is, I think, one, I know for a fact that Kevin Feige really loves Daredevil.
Huh, interesting.
He's especially a big fan of the actor who plays Daredevil.
Charlie Cox, yeah, I like him too.
My guess is going to be this. Once Disney kind of has everything figured out in the next year.
Okay. Yeah, because it's gonna be at least till 2020 if they have everything figured out.
Disney has been adamant there will be no R-rated content on Disney Plus.
Yeah, but they also have a huge stake in Hulu now, so I think
that's gonna
be thrown up there.
Expect a change in Hulu. That's gonna be my guess.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's one reason I did HBO Now instead of HBO through Hulu. Because Hulu, I have a feeling Hulu is going to go through a few facelifts.
I think Hulu's going to go through a facelift. I think Disney Plus is going to be the thing that changes a lot of things. I think it's going to have a direct effect on how cable is handled. It's going to have a direct effect on how other networks give out their streaming licenses. As soon as Disney Plus hits, the war is truly on.
Well, that explains why things like Apple and Amazon are trying streaming services.
Oh, come on. Amazon's all in on this. The amount of money they paid to get Lord of the Rings, the money that they're putting into The Expanse now that they are the ones producing it.
Oh, no, dude, I understand. But when I heard Apple doing a streaming service, I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, Apple, that shouldn't be a shocker. I think Apple's been trying to do that for a while, and I know they've got several big games tied up to exclusive contracts for Apple Direct shows.
Yeah, I think one of them is A4.
So, yeah, but I mean, I really think, I'll be curious. Apparently there are rumors, too, that you could see Iron Fist, Finn Jones return as Iron Fist in something else Marvel-related.
So, okay, pardon the obvious pun, but Luke Cage and Iron Fist, they truly are heroes for hire.
Basically, yeah. See, here's the thing. I think by 2022, Marvel and Disney will have worked out whatever the issues are with Submariner and Hulk, and they'll have those under control.
Okay.
The biggest gum up in the works for them getting full control of Spider-Man is that Venom is still raking in money in the box office.
Well, like I said, and like I said when we were doing recording, one success really, really doesn't, to me anyway, boost much confidence to wipe the egg off Sony's face.
Yeah, but the problem is it's putting money in Sony's pocket, and that's the key thing.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway.
Look, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 put money in Sony's pocket, and that eventually blew up in their face.
Yeah, but Venom has put... you realize Venom has outmade several of the Marvel films now? Yeah,
I understand that, but you also realize the fact that... we also didn't have another aspect game changer here, which also could be an interesting counter to Sony's moves right now, the Spider-Man deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think that unless something drastic happens, Marvel's not going to get full rights back to Spider-Man anytime soon.
No, I... Dude, I'm not arguing that fact. I'm just saying, as opposed to last time, we didn't have that in play. And I really feel with that in play, look, because had Venom come along and let's say the Spider-Man deal was done, and I believe it expires in full after, what is it, the sequel to Far From Home?
No, there's... The agreement was 7 Spider-Man appearances. We've had 3.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. 3 including his appearances in other films?
He had, yeah. Civil War, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Avengers 4, Far From Home will be 4. There'll be a third film, which, because for sure, so that's 5.
And he'll probably be 2 films after.
Or he'll have appearances in other Marvel movies. Might probably maybe another Avengers film or something.
All right. Let's say it expires after Young Avengers, okay? Or whatever that's called. But had Venom come along after that, then I would have been like, okay, fine.
Right? Well, the reason why I say 2020, about 2022 before that expires, is that because, yes, Sony's made a bunch of buttload of money on Venom, which they're using in turn to greenlight other Spider-Man spinoff projects that they have the rights to.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be I don't think that's a good idea, because I don't think the characters that they think are going to spin off are going to carry the same weight as Venom.
You mean like Morbius and Kraven?
And their Black Cat movie that they're still trying to get off the ground, yeah, as well. So.
Yeah, they either split apart Black Cat and Silver Sable or canceled those two altogether.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens over the next few months. The main thing I can say at this point.
But the interesting thing is you see what I mean by having this deal in play, because as of right now. This just feels like Aviarod flexing.
Oh yeah, but they have a right to flex right now, because they have made something that's been a bona fide hit, and you know, but well, again, it's what I'm going.
It's at least better than that dumbass idea of a Aunt May spinoff. I'm like. When Avi posed that, I'm like, Avi Arad, what are you smoking?
Oh, he's got the good stuff. But...
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's the same shit holding his ass together after all these years.
Yeah, no kidding. So, mm-hmm. Okay, David. Well, I'm gonna get going here because the alarm goes off way too early in the morning.
Yeah, no, I agree. She usually always does.
Yep, I'll have this for you. I'll convert this file and have it for you tomorrow.
All right, take it easy, pal.
Okay, night, David.
All right, bye.
See ya.